happy to be here. I always think it's amazing when a pastor can preach a service and get through it, because the amount of things that try to come against a service is crazy. But one of the things that I've always prided myself with, and we're going to kind of have a meeting of the minds here, if you will. This is not a part of my sermon, but it is an announcement that I, as the pastor, I want to make. And then I'm going to kind of share my heart with it, because many times what people don't see is conversations that go on behind closed doors. And one of the hot topics ever since I've been a pastor is the praise and worship. This has been something that has caused, to me, a lot of drama. Over the past 5 years that I've been pastor, there's been one thing or another that has caused some issues. And so what I want to do is I want to, from the cow's mouth, I'm the head heifer, okay? I want to say it because I want people to understand where my heart is on some things. And so I do have some announcements and some things that I want to say about it. But I personally believe that our teenagers that are on the stage, I believe that they should be on the stage, every one of the people that are. I think that as a leader, if you are not constantly preparing people to take your place, see, I'm not always going to be here. Brother Angelo won't always be here. We're going to get old, and we're going to die, and we're going to go to heaven, and then we're going to leave it to people that we have trained up, that God has called, that God has ordained, and that is the goal of me as a pastor. I am constantly trying to train up people that, you know what, when I'm dead and gone, I'm not going to be sitting up there in heaven wondering, well, what happened to Parish Christian Center? You know what? The only way that Parish Christian Center has stood the test of time was because God ordained this place. And come hell or high water, I'm going to make sure that we train up people in a way that we can go on for many, many years to come, for generations to come, unless Jesus comes back. That's my goal. So one of the things that I want to say is that I wholeheartedly, as the pastor, I want you to see my heart on some things, okay? Because the number one person that is always misunderstood is the pastor. And I'm not going to sit there and wait to where I'm not on Facebook Live. You know what? It would do people that are sitting at home a heck of a lot of good if they realized that church is real. And I'm a real pastor, and I'm not going to wait till we're not on Facebook Lives to hash out issues. We're going to hash them out. We're going to get through it because, see, that's the type of leadership that's needed for today. All this washed up, I'm going to just walk around everybody's feelings. I'm not going to do that. If this convicts you, you need to be convicted. If it doesn't, then you're probably not the one, okay? That's all I can say. But I believe wholeheartedly, and I've always preached, you don't have to look just right to come into church. If all you got is rags to wear, you come up in here and you sit down, because, see, that's what Jesus wants to happen. Now, do we all agree with that? If you agree, we are voting today. If you agree, I want you to put your hand up. If you disagree, leave your hand down, because I need to know where we're at. Because I'm about to, where the rubber meets the road, that's where we're going to be today. Now, I want to say something. When you get up on this stage, that has changed. There's a difference. There is a difference between being in the pew and leading worship. Now, people, that is not going to get me brownie points, and I don't care, because I'm not in a brownie point mood today. Glory to God. Okay? It's very hard for me to be this way because I love everybody. But I want to explain something. When you sit here and you pick your church and you feel like God has planted you in a church, do you want a pushover, or do you want a man or woman of God that's going to sit up here and they're going to say it no matter how hard it is? It's hard for me to do this today. By the time you make it on this stage and you are called a praise and worship leader, somebody in the audience, tell me what a leader is. They're leading. They take charge. They lead. We're leading by example. Do y'all think that I've tried my darndest to lead by example? Okay. By the time somebody gets up here, they are a leader. They are a leader. They are a leader. We are raising up leaders. I'm not raising up the next person to fill in the Logan County Jail. No, we're getting those ones out, and we're putting them in here, and we're loving on them. But by golly, by the time you make yourself up here, you are a leader, and that's what I'm going to call you. Okay? Now, if you don't want to be a leader, you need to let me know. Because by the time you get yourself on the stage, or by the time you get yourself behind here, I'm going to expect certain things. And the living God is going to expect certain things. There are standards. Why are there standards? Because the living God says, I have raised up a standard. When the enemy tries to come in like a flood, the Word of God says, I raised a standard for you. And by golly, because I raised that standard, there's standards that we have to live by. You can't just call a queen an ace and think that it's good. It's not good. And that's what's wrong with some of our kids in the world today. They're confused. We've given them all these options. If you don't want to go to the boys' bathroom and you think you're this, then go to this one and go to that. You know what? That is nonsense, and I'm tired of it, and I don't want that all going up in here. Okay? So that's why we're going to have this conversation. Now, what I'm going to say about this is this right here. And I'm a hot-blooded Italian, and it's coming out today. Because I've had it from every end, and I'm fed up with it. I ain't mad, but Miss Billy, pastor's up to here. Pastor's up to here. I've had it all. And we ain't having it no more. I'm not going to be sugarcoating stuff anymore. If that's going to offend the heck out of you, then this ain't going to be the church for you. I sit at night awake worried about what everybody's going to think if I have to say something about the tithes, or if I have to say something about this, or if I have to say something about that. Y'all are going to either have me dead or you're going to have me living. But I want to live, and I can't worry about what everybody thinks all the time. Now, I'm going to say this. The majority of our kids, the majority of the worship team, they are kids, and that's exactly how I want it. But I'm going to tell you something. Parents, for 5 years, I've had complaints about this and complaints about that. I've had it from everybody. And I'm going to say, this is how I'm going to handle this. I am going to type up a dress code. I'm going to give it to Brother Angelo. I'm going to give it to Kayla. I'm going to give it to Paul and Jill. I'm going to give it to whoever the heck else kid is up there. Daddy, I don't want you wearing your shorty shorts. I don't want to see your belly button ring. I don't let them see mine. No Speedos. Now look. I am not an old codger. I am a very hip, in-style person. Now, I don't expect everybody to get up there and look like me. But here's what I'm going to say. I know this is crazy, and I'm sorry it's coming off crazy, but it's making me crazy, and it's going to stop. There's times where I have people, did you see what so-and-so was wearing on the stage? Well, then I have the kids that they were talking about crying. That's stopping, and that's stopping today. Amen. That is going to stop today. I've had it. We're done with it. Amen. The way that we're done with it is there's a dress code from now on. Now, adults, if you don't, I don't know what else to say, but this has ripped me every which way, and it's not God's best. For the pastor to feel like this, it's not God's best for the girls to feel this way. It's done. We have taken care of this, And if this offends you, then you know what? You need to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible, yes.
I want the praise and worship team. Are you in here? I want you to come up here if you're part of the praise and worship team. There's one. Come on up here, girls. We're missing, who are we missing?
There's some, and I've got 30 minutes.
Okay. These, right now, this plus, who else are we missing? Alicia and Kimber. Kimber and Alicia. This is our worship team for right now, and all I want to say is this. We're not taking anybody else right now. We're forming a team, and it's not easy, and we're working on things, so... Does everybody understand that? So if people just think you can't just come up on the stage, we're trying to develop something. I've been in praise and worship before I was ever a pastor here for many, 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 many years. I did it, Kelly will tell, and I'd be turning on all the things and shutting them all off. But I just want to say that, just so everybody knows. I don't mean to cause any offense, and there shouldn't be offense. We right here. And you know, when we get these ready and they're good enough, we'll probably add two.
Okay. Now, I want to say out of that group, if there is anybody that doesn't want to be on that stage anymore, I want to know it by tonight. And nobody knows how hard it is to pastor. That I think that is the hardest thing to do, because you get all the complaints. I have had people say, I'm going to quit the church because you've got it too cold. Then somebody on the other side, I'm going to quit the church because you've got it too hot. Well, you know what? You don't want to be in church. I'm sorry. Now, I'm going to get off this soapbox, and if y'all are offended right now, then look here. You need to understand how much you're being loved right now, because it's not easy to do what I've just done. It's not easy to say, look, how many of you know that there are standards in life? And I also want to say this. If any one of our kids doesn't have appropriate attire, this church will pay for them to have it. And I would pay for it out of my own pocket. And I also want to say this too right here. There are some people that they have said things about how people look. And you know, to those people, I want to tell you to keep your mouth shut. So we're going to learn lessons all the way around. If you ain't got nothing better to do than to talk about how somebody else looks in church, you have problems. I'm going to preach now. I feel like I woke up in the twilight zone this morning. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Title of this message is called Quit Seeing Specks. Quit seeing specks. You know, you see what you want to. You see what you want to. You see what you want to. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? It's easy to see the faults of others, and it's easy to see where they fail or disappoint us. And this verse is asking a question, why? And we need to ask ourselves why. How many of you've ever been scrolling through Facebook, and this is something that I've seen quite often. It's on there at least once a week, if not once a day. And I always think how childish that this is. But you'll be on there and somebody will say, well, that's it. I'm done. Don't ask me to do nothing else for you and yours, because you weren't at my kid's birthday party. You weren't at this. You dirty dog, you missed this event. You did this and you did that, and I'm done. And don't ever ask me to do nothing else, because I'm done. I'm not going to do nothing for nobody else but me and my four and no more. Well, we're going to preach about that today. So, ask yourself why. Why is it okay for us to say that, well, have you ever said to yourself, I say it all the time, I am so busy, I just cannot make that, or I just can't do that, I'm busy, and I've got myself overbooked. We all feel that way in life sometimes, okay? So when we feel that way, what we should know is that other people are going to feel that way also. When people let you down because they didn't go to something, or they didn't do something that you thought that they should do, or they didn't behave in a way that you thought that they should behave, that doesn't make them awful people. We need to ask ourselves, why? Why can I see specks in everybody else, but I cannot see my own specks? Why is that? It's a question of the times. We need to know, why am I so hard on everybody else, but when it comes to myself, I give myself a free pass? Oh, I understand. Kelly, you were just too busy, so that's why you didn't go. But why are you so mad that somebody didn't go to Coco's thing, or somebody didn't do this, or somebody didn't do that? See, we need to ask ourselves why we are acting the way we're acting, because that's all we're responsible for. On Judgment Day, I'm not giving an account for anybody but Kelly. And so it says, verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? Too often, we have the same faults in ourselves that we're upset with others about. Too often we have the same faults in ourselves that we're upset with others about. And we can't see those, but we can see their specks. See, when you're looking at other people, are you always looking at all their specks and all their problems and where they've missed it in life? I know people that claim to be Christians, and they're very quick to say who's not a Christian. Oh, that person's not a Christian. I don't even think that's something that should be said out loud. Because, see, we don't know. We shouldn't be looking at other people and judging and looking in their life and seeing a little speck here, and we've got the national forest up in our life, and we're seeing a little sapling growing up in theirs, and we got the whole Mount Magazine growing up in our life, and we don't want to talk about that, but by golly, we want to talk about Sally Sue, because she's got a little baby tree coming up of lust or of this or that, and we want to talk bad about Sally Sue, but we don't want to clean up the forest in our own life. We want to talk, it's easier to talk about Sally and judge her and be mad at her. See, we can't live like that. And we're not, I'm okay, you're okay. Because let's face it, ain't none of us okay all the time. We're just not. And so, we can't please everyone all the time. Is there anybody that can please everyone all the time?
Nope. Jesus could.
Jesus could, and that's it. We can't please everybody all the time. So I want to flip that around. And I want to say to you, why do you think people are going to please you all the time? I can't please everybody all the time. Can't. And you know what, Angel? You know what I know? They aren't going to please me all the time. I'm not going to please them all the time, and they're not going to please me all the time. People are going to be upsetting to you. And you know what? We have to take that with a grain of salt. You know why? Because it won't be too long. Give us 5 minutes. We'll probably upset somebody ourselves. Verse 5. It says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. See, I love the Bible because it'll just call it like it is. If somebody's being a hypocrite, it'll just say, you hypocrite. It's very plain and simple. And it says that when we do this and when we behave that way, We are being hypocrites. And I have had to pray the prayer many times, and I will probably have to pray it again many more times. God, please help me to stop being a hypocrite. And you know what? That's a good prayer for all of us to pray. Because there are times where everybody has a little bit of hypocrite in them. I don't care how good you are. Everybody has a little bit of hypocrisy in them at times. And when we do have it and we recognize it in our own life, Tyler, what we have to do is, here's the hypocrisy in us. We have to take the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of Jesus and pour it on there and try to make that right. And so it says, you hypocrite, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly. Then you're going to see clearly. Then you're going to see clearly. Back to the Facebook thing. When you're upset about someone not doing what you think that they should do, stop. How many of you people do things that you don't think that they should do? How many of you know that you do things that people don't think you should do? Okay. That levels the ground right there. When you get upset by another person, you need to ask yourself, and I mean it, ask yourself, am I being a hypocrite? Am I being a hypocrite? Am I being a hypocrite? Well, I'm mad at her. She didn't say hi to me. Am I being a hypocrite? At 8 o'clock when I walked into the office, I didn't say hi to the secretary. Well, this person did this to me. Well, you've probably done that too. There's too much hypocrisy in believers. There's too much of it. There's so much of it, it gets nice pastors like me having to just do what I just did. Amen. My preaching is only as good as the people that make it to heaven. And I better be real clear with what I say. God can't bless hypocrisy. Just can't bless it. When I get mad at somebody, I've learned to ask, and I'm learning now. Kelly, are you being a hypocrite? And most of the time I am. Most of the time I can see in my own life where I've done exactly what I'm getting mad at somebody else for. And instead of having grace for them, I'm irritated with them. We need to ask ourselves, am I being a hypocrite? Look back. Have you done the same thing? Sometimes we've grown out of certain behaviors and we've forgotten what it was like for us when we were in that season of life. Sometimes we forgot what God took us out of because it's been a long time. And we're not as graceful as what we need to be with others. Let's take Brother Sam, for instance. I'm just trying to look around to see who I can actually use as an example who's not going to get absolutely offended at me. So, Brother Sam, you're it. Brother Sam has been with me through thick and thin, and I would trust him with my life. I absolutely would. And I'm so thankful for you. Brother Sam has been delivered of alcohol addiction. He has been for over 30 years. He has ministered to so many alcoholics because he's never lost his compassion for what it was like to struggle with alcoholism. But if he wasn't that way, let's say he was delivered from it, and he's been delivered for 30 years, and an alcoholic comes up in here, and he's like, oh, you smell of booze, and you're this, and you're that. That wouldn't be good, because that would mean that you've forgotten what God did for you, because there was a time where you stunk. Right? There's times where we've all stunk from one thing or another. And God has been so good and kind to us that he reached down in the slimy pit and he lifted us up out of it. And when he lifted us up out of it, what we need to get in our head is we best not forget the pit we were in. Because the moment you forget, that's when you start being a hypocrite. Now, I tell you, I've gotten myself into some dumb stuff. And it was the sweet kindness of God that reached down and got me out of it. And that's the story of every person, because God has been good to every person. So we don't need to constantly look at others and think about all their flaws. We don't need to be, and I just want to say this. I'm on an honesty kick today, so we're just going to roll with it. I just want everybody that's a member here, I want to tell you something, and I want to give you the best piece of advice you're going to get all week. And it's this right here. Facebook is not an effective form of communication. Facebook is not a effective form of communication. Second great piece of advice I'm going to give you. Putting a meme on Facebook is also not an effective form of communication. If you got beef with somebody, and you see, the word tells you to go to them. And we've all become a bunch of jerks, and we just want to just call them out on Facebook and not even really call them out. We just want to put something out there so they're going to think, is Sally Sue talking about me? Because I did that to her this week. I don't know if she's talking about me or not. You need to posey up and go talk to Sally Sue.
Glory to God. Be real. Amen.
Amen. There's so many people. Pastor Kelly, I ain't coming to church. We got into it on Facebook. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Don't ever wonder what's gotten me. Let me tell you. Because I hear some crazy stuff. And I'm still living and breathing. If I'm a little short with you, you need to not talk about me. You need to start praying. I need all the prayers I can get. So, let's read on. The Bible says that we can see clearly when we get that plank out of our own eye. And here's what I've learned about the plank. The plank, all your extra time, that goes towards the plank that's in your own life. You don't need to waste a bunch of time dealing and fiddle-farting around with people and their stuff. No, you need to be concerned about yourself. The Word says, take heed to yourself, lest your heart be overcharged. A lot of people's hearts are overcharged because they are nosy and they have gotten their self into something that doesn't even involve them, and they are over in left field using up all of their time over in left field worried about things that are not even their problem. And all of the while, we still have Mount Magazine plank in our own life that has been left unattended to. And it'll stay there until we do what the Word tells us, which is work out your own salvation. And you got to do that in a certain way, with fear and with trembling. It's a scary thing when you get a hold of your life and you start working it out, ain't it, Angel? You ever come up with stuff you didn't know what was up inside of you, and you think, oh my gosh, I got more work to do with me than I even thought. Amen. Now, verse 6, this is a very important key verse in this whole passage. And this is some more advice that I'm going to pour into you, because some of us have unrealistic expectations of other people. Some of us have unrealistic expectations of other people. We have taken people and we have put them in an impossible place that they can never live up to because we are being unrealistic with what we expect them to do. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Now, let me just tell you something. Here's another thing that I see on Facebook all the time, Brother Tyler. And I know just how to pray for people because I follow their Facebook posts. Now, and I hate to say it, but women are the worst about this. And I am a woman. We're going to have to get better, girls. We're just going to have to get better. We're going to have to get our pencil out, our pink pencil. We're going to have to get the sharpener. We're going to sharpen that thing up. Some of this stuff is silly, but you see it nationwide. Oh, I wish I had friends to go to the movies to. Now, you know, if you had friends to go to the movies to, you'd turn them down because you really don't want to go. Come on. It'd be nice to go invite us so we could turn them down. But you see people and everybody's so wishy-washy, lukewarm, Luke this and Luke that and just all out of sorts. And we've got all these feelings, don't know what to do with them. Everybody's just mean to me and woe is me. And I wish I had friends. Let me tell you something. Friends are great. But ain't every person that you know in your life going to be your best friend? Okay? And not every person in your life is really in your corner. That's a hard lesson to learn. When we have these little things in our lives, I'm going to keep it real today, and I can't use very many people as an example, but I can sure use me and Frank. Show them your shirt, honey bunny. Now, They're going to let you have me after today. They're like, oh, we can have her. Now, let me just say something. Frank and I managed to hack everybody off when they weren't invited to the wedding. I still get flack about that to this day. But let me tell you something. Billy, I wasn't over in the corner crying about it. You know why? Because that day wasn't about anybody but me and Frank. We get too hurt over silly things. And I'm going to give you another nugget. You have the power and the authority to pick and choose what you're going to get offended about. And you get to choose. You get to choose if you're going to heal or keep hurting. You get to choose that. People also said, his family said, we want to have y'all a reception. I said, we don't want it. We don't want a reception. And let me tell you why. Because we don't give a raccoon's hiatus who wants to come and celebrate us or not, because we celebrating us. And we're going to keep celebrating. Stop getting upset over dumb stuff. I do it too. Somebody looks at my kid wrong, in my mind, I've already annihilated them. I done wiped them off the planet in my brain. But it ain't right. We got to stop looking at people and seeing all the faults when they let us down. Look here, people are going to let you down. People are going to let you down, and you know what? You're going to let people down, and that's a part of living. That's a part of humanity. None of us want to let people down. None of us want to be a letdown. Let's start having grace for people when they let us down. Let's start having grace. The Word says, don't give to dogs what is sacred. Look here. Don't give to people that you ain't supposed to be giving to what's sacred. What's sacred? Your family? Your children? If you got a birthday party for your kid and two people show up, you know what you need to do? You need to stop counting in your head how many of them didn't show up, and you best start counting the two that came. You know when I learned that? In the pandemic, when I sat to an empty sanctuary and preached to a camera on a phone because the government said you can't have church services. And you know what? I had two people that came to every single service like that. It was my mother and it was my father. And you know what? At the end of the day, come hell or high water, I wasn't sitting there thinking, counting all the things that let me down. You know what, Tonya? That right there has made me what I am today. And when God took me outside and he had me minister outside after I told him I would never do it, Paul, right there in that season of my life, I stopped counting people in the pew, because what I've learned is it doesn't matter how many people come up and sit in these pews. What matters is how many people are going to be sitting in heaven. That's what matters. That's what matters. Nothing else. And if all that you do is attend church, that's not enough. It's not enough. You got to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only, lest deceiving your own selves. We deceive ourselves when we think that actions alone are getting us into heaven. They're not. I can go sit in my garage all day long. That don't make me a car. You can come up here and sit in the church house all you want to. That don't make you saved. Quit seeing specks. Go with me to James chapter 3. If you want to start getting that meat out. James chapter 3, let's look at verse 9 through 12. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can that really happen? No. No. See, you have to pick who you are, and you have to pick who you're going to be. And see, nobody can serve two masters. You need to choose who you are and work on it. Because you can't have fresh water and salt water coming out of you at the same time. You can't, I love this one day, and I'm sick of it the next day. You know what I get sick of, Brenda? You want to hear it? Here's what I get sick of. Every time something don't go just right for somebody, I'm quitting. Pastor Kelly didn't shake my hand. She's awful. me tell you something. If every time something don't go right in your life and you're quitting whatever, let me tell you something. God cannot do anything with you. God will never bless quitters. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because on the cross, he said, it is finished. Jesus finished what he came here to do. And because he finished it, he expects us to finish things. I don't have a violin that I can just sit up here and play Kumbaya on and we're all going to get saved 37 times. I don't have that today. I'll have it next week. I'll bring the violin next week. I'll try to be nicer next week. Y'all stand to your feet. What was this about? Well, this is about life. Don't be so easily offended. Cut people some slack. Try to be understanding. We are pulling out meat. I hope everybody likes ribs and chicken. That's what it is. Every household can have a pack of them. If we run out, come and see me. I'll give you something else. Lord, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person. Lord, if any of them are offended, I ask that you would help them. And God, right now, I thank you for everything that you're doing. Lord, I ask that you would protect every person in here. God, love on them. Lord, the places in their life where they're concerned about, they need a breakthrough. God, you are still doing breakthroughs. And I thank you that they're going to have a breakthrough this week in that area. In Jesus' name, amen.